Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, how about we get this week started?
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
My wife is a diehard Colts fan, so she's actually got some opinions on the Chuck Pagano hire.
Colts fan Betsy on Chuck Pagano, what do you got?
I think that he is genuinely a good defensive coordinator. I think he's a terrible head coach, and he had no idea what he was getting into, specifically with the Andrew Luck situation. But that isn't happening currently in Chicago, so I think the Bears fans can rest relatively easy. I do think he would be a good DC, but I think as a head coach, he's kind of garbage.
Let's go! That was fantastic on Friday night. While we had JJ Stankovic on the show reporting on Chuck Pagano getting hired, he was sitting next to his wife, who is a huge Colts fan, so she gave us her thoughts on Chuck Pagano, and it was great. So I don't know if we ever have a need for a Colts correspondent, or if we should have Betsy like check out what's going on with Pagano throughout the season. But if there's a Chuck Pagano story, Betsy is going to be our correspondent on it. She was fantastic. So shout out to Betsy Stankovic, JJ's wife, there with the clean audio too. Just boom, boom, boom. Hit the points like she's a talk show host. It's great. Welcome into the show. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 9:15. That's because the Bulls take on LeBron-less Lakers tonight. And we will have their pregame show starting at 9:15. At some point, and I know I've been, I guess, threatening might be the right word, to talk about the Bulls in a big forum. We will, and maybe even tonight, because I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of feelings about the White Sox, and that's what I'd like to talk about first on the show. But let me tell you who's on the show tonight. Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago is going to be on with me at 6:40. We will talk more in depth about the White Sox. At 7:40, Ryan Shiverini of Windy City Live is going to join me because he was one of the participants in the Cody Parkey Challenge. And I want to talk to him about that and how close he was to actually making the kick, because if you looked at all the kicks, his was pretty damn close. Ask Herb will be at 8 o'clock tonight. I give Layla Rahimi a lot of credit. I'm actually watching her on Sports Talk Live right now in the studio. I give her a lot of credit. She breathes some new life into Ask Herb. So we're going to try it again. Wait, Tony, do we have the drop of her talking about Ask Herb? Because that's one of the funniest things that's ever happened on this show. I know it's only a second long, but it makes me laugh every time I hear it. It's quality work by her because she was singing her heart out for that 1 second, promoting the bit. And the bit is worth promotion because, you know, it's Herbie. And it's his own thing. But we can only do the segment if we actually have callers and texters who ask questions of Herb. Like, I'm not going to sit here and ask Herb questions. I can talk to him wherever I want. But for you, this is your one opportunity to do it. So at 8 o'clock tonight, be here and be a part of it. And then you can ask Herb a question or two or eight. We'll find the Layla. Trust me, it's worth it. At 8:30, Dave Leto is going to join me. I'm sure he's very much looking forward to following Ask Herb. But I thought with DePaul being 10-5, 2-2, winning a game against top 25 team in St. John's on the road, and I thought doing it fairly convincingly, that we might move Dave up this week and talk with him a little bit. So we will do that around 8:30 tonight. Oh, wait, we got it? All right. This was Layla Rahimi giving us new imaging for Ask Herb.
Ask Herb.
Oh, shoot. That is coming up at 8 o'clock tonight.
That should just be the open. We're about to cut that out.
I think that we definitely have to add it in somehow. Like, I think it goes on the end of it.
Ask Herb.
Like, we used to do the dolphin. So I feel like we need to, I think we need to go ask Herb open, dolphin, Layla.
Ask Herb.
I think it works out really well. I'm all for playing that as much as we can. All right, so there's some things I'd like to talk about when it comes to the White Sox tonight. And I'd like for us to have a conversation about it. Me and Joe Ostrowski were talking earlier today, which is apropos because he is a guest on this week's edition of House of L. He'll be on House of L. I'm going to drop the episode as soon as I get out of here tonight. I'm going to go home and I'm going to upload it and it'll be available later on tonight. We are talking about the White Sox, and he's like, well, what are you going to talk about when it comes to the White Sox? I want to talk about the chase for Manny Machado and or Bryce Harper, but I want to switch the backdrop on it a little bit and just ask you this. Let me get there to the question, but I want you to understand how my mind is working on this before we get to the question. Since free agency started, the White Sox, to me, have felt like they've sped up their process. They're being aggressive. We like when the White Sox are aggressive. I mean, White Sox fans, to a man, as much as they didn't like the results, have always liked the fact that Kenny Williams, for the most part, has gone for it. And this would be a calculated go for it where they feel like their prospects are close enough, Kopech to being healthy enough, and Eloy being close enough to the major leagues in a free agency market where you have two great players that are available, why not then push and go for it and try to get one of those guys or both of those guys on the south side of Chicago? In doing that, I feel like there are raised expectations. Now, this could just be me projecting. Maybe you don't feel the same way. Maybe you feel like the plan is the plan is the plan, and nothing is here to speed up or slow down what the White Sox are doing or that level of momentum that the White Sox have built up with the fan base over the last 2 years to say, okay, we get it. We're down. Let's go. Let's do the whole tear it down, rebuild thing. And I find myself stuck because I know that at some level, part of this is the White Sox are relevant. It's not very often that I start the 6 o'clock hour talking about the White Sox. 6 o'clock hour is my most listened to hour. And we know that fan base is not as big as the Cubs fan base or the Bears fans fan base, which is are things I ordinarily will start off the 6 o'clock hour with. But I do think that because of the amount of attention the White Sox have sought out and what's going on with free agency, everyone wants to know where Manny Machado is going. Everyone wants to know where Bryce Harper is going. And they're hoping that it ends up on the south side of Chicago. If you're a White Sox fan, you might be holding out hope. If you're a Cubs fan, that Bryce Harper ends up over on the north side, which I still think is a possibility. Although if I were betting, I would bet that he's going back to Washington. But whatever. If they don't get Machado, because notice how quiet it's been on the Harper front. Remember, if we go back 4 weeks ago, it was, oh, well, the White Sox are in on Harper. People are telling me they haven't even offered Harper anything. In on him. If we go back to 4 weeks ago, there's a lot of steam and a lot of energy built up around the White Sox, maybe being involved with Bryce Harper and maybe getting him to the south side. Same thing with Manny Machado. I'm trying to work through if they don't get him. If they don't get Machado and or Harper, what does that mean? Now, last week when we had Sierra on the show, she talked about the player that didn't want to play for the White Sox. We don't need to play it again, Tony. Don't worry about it. We don't have to play it again. But we talked about perception. And there's still so many bad perceptions about the White Sox as an organization that I personally don't subscribe to because I've seen it work. I see what they're doing over there, and I think I get it. But I will tell you, I would be lying to you if at the end of this, I feel like they have to walk away with the prize. The prize being Manny Machado and or Bryce Harper, and I'm conceding that it won't be Bryce Harper. If they don't walk away with the prize, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. And I mean this in the context of, had the White Sox not even put their hat in the ring for Harper or Machado, I was good. Because I felt like I understood what they were doing. With them saying, well, we're ready to play with the rest of the teams. We're ready to make the White Sox a relevant destination for free agency. Okay. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle, man, the White Sox are close. I don't think that I'm going to be okay with, well, they came in second for Manny Machado. He's off to Philadelphia or where? Mystery team. Mystery team. I don't know how I'm going to react. I can tell you that I think the way that I might react is not in a good way. Because as the White Sox continue to fight for relevance, and we know we have it, we all have the inferiority complex. I'm not talking about to the Cubs. I'm talking about to everything. We are a downtrodden, angry, small group of, you know who we are? We're the watch. We're the Night's Watch. That's us. We're miserable. We're holding up the wall. We're out here in terrible weather, holding up the wall, trying to speak the gospel of the White Sox. That's all of us. We will talk bad about them, but you better not talk bad about them. We carry a chip on our shoulder like you wouldn't believe. It bothers us, and it should bother us, when the White Sox accomplishments are diminished or in some cases ignored completely on a national stage. So in that regard, the White Sox have done their job in getting the White Sox as a brand out there for the public to consume. The White Sox might be in on Manny Machado. They might be in on him. They have to get him. You can't finish second now. I'm not saying that I speak for what, Herbie, what do we call? Is it White Sox Nation? Like, what are we? I don't know what we are. What's the proper nomenclature for White Sox fans as a whole?
White Sox neighborhood?
White Sox et al. Is that what we are? That
White Sox City. I mean, Nation seems a little generous.
South Side. Just say South Side. Like that's
no. They don't
are.
Want you to say South Side.
Why not?
Okay.
You don't I live on the
that.
South Side.
You don't remember
the
that
South
a couple
side.
Years ago? They didn't like to be
associated with the South
no,
Side of Chicago.
South Side. Yeah.
All right.
And then they told us like, hey, don't you know, call them. South
oh yeah,
side.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay, sorry. South Side, okay. Western Suburbs, and Schaumburg. Because that's where our people are. Those are the three places where, and Northwest Indiana to a certain extent. Is that big enough to be called a nation? All right. There you go. There's something fun we can play with as I'm seriously talking about the White Sox. Text in what we should refer to White Sox fandom at large by. Are we a nation? Are we Roll Tide? I mean, I don't know what we are. Hashtag Roll Tide. By the way, can I just say, hey, Dabo, really? Because you know who wouldn't have let his players do that? Nick Saban.
Do you think that, like, he would have showed up and was like, nope, gentlemen, go back out?
Yep. I think Saban would have been like, you want to serve them what? No, we're good. We'll do the photo op, and then we're out. Men. I think Dabo just wanted to get in that house. He don't care. He just wanted to get in the White House. Could you imagine?
I mean, if we're going to do it, let's give me some Chick-fil-A, give me some fast casual, like some Boston Market.
Wasn't that the move with Clemson and Dabo? Wasn't Chick-fil-A the move?
And apparently 4 for $4 is a great American meal.
I mean, look, I'm not turning up my nose at any of that food. I'm just saying if I go to the White House, I expect, you know.
And it plays, too, you know, Chick-fil-A,
right.
White House. I mean, we're all good.
That was the move. And you can turn it into a thing. Apparently, McDonald's and Burger King's social media has been really going at it. All right, but I digress.
White Castle?
Do they have those in D.C., or would it be Crystal?
Well, Crystal would be smooth. Save some money,
well,
too.
Well, yeah, it would be. It would. Crystal would definitely be smooth going out. Might be rough on all the guys. But I felt like Chick-fil-A was the move there. Are there no sports fans in this White House? Like, that's what I'd have been like. That would have been my suggestion.
They're not working.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. Had the president said to me, hey, you, because I'm sure he wouldn't have known my name, what should I serve these guys? I would have said, we got to go Chick-fil-A on this, Mr. President. We got to go full Chick-fil-A for Clemson.
Or I think, like, Bojangles is a thing out there.
Don't do that.
No?
Okay. Don't do Bojangles.
Enough white players to say, you know.
Those biscuits are delicious, but let's not serve the players Bojangles.
Like the name and chicken?
Yeah.
Both
like you
them?
Can get away with serving Chick-fil-A, you can't get away with serving them Bojangles. You can't. Even he couldn't get away with that. But now you've given them an idea. But Chick-fil-A would have been the way to go. Anyway, I want to know what your reaction is to the White Sox pursuit of Manny Machado. I want to know what it would mean if they finished second. Maybe I've got this wrong. I look forward to hearing your thoughts. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us at 670-11. Your thoughts on that, along with your name for whatever we are going to call a group of White Sox fans. Herbie says it's not big enough for a nation. I don't like the way neighborhood sounds. White Sox neighborhood. So there has to be something in between there. White Sox County? We can't even say that, really, right? Because both the teams are in Cook County, so we can't even do that. We can lay claim to DuPage, though. So, your thoughts on Manny Machado and the White Sox pursuit of them and Chick-fil-A. Back after this on The Score. That's Tony Gill, who is spinning the dials for you here as far as the sound goes on the show. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer of this fine program. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I host the show. Chuck Garfine, Chuckie G. Will join me around 6:40. We're talking about the White Sox. There's some really good text messages on what we should call ourselves. Honestly, I'm surprised at how good. In the last segment, we were talking about what do we call White Sox fandom at all? Like, are we a nation? We're probably not, but there's some really good ones here. 815 texter says Sox commune. I like that. 224 texter says, Sox Island of misfit Sox fans, the island for short. Hashtag Soxland. That one's good. Click. I kind of like that. Sox click. Or 417. Where the hell is 417? Sox horde, which I appreciate. White Sox Legion. This one, Herbie and I were talking about during the break. This one's pretty good. Faction.
417 is Missouri.
Okay. White Sox Faction. That sounds like a Star Trek villain.
That's perfect.
It really is for us.
I got one personal one that says Collective.
Ooh, the Collective. The White Sox Collective.
That feels very Hyde Park-ish. Like, that's a, you know.
Tony said it's too smart.
Like I said, it feels very Hyde Park-ish. The collective. Maybe there's a collective inside of the faction. You know what I mean? So it's like me, Guff, Chuck Garfine, Ronji when he's in town. Like, we're the collective inside of White Sox. Yeah, faction. Maybe that's how it works. Block Club. White Sox Block Club. This, from, let me make sure I got the name right, Blake from Orland Park.
Blake,
who says the blacklist. That works. I think that's a great t-shirt, and it works on a lot of different levels. I'm just saying. The White Sox bunch. Can we be the fun bunch? Has the expiration date on the actual fun bunch? Like, could we be the White Sox fun bunch, Southside fun bunch? I think that would be better. Southside Fun Bunch. Put it on a t-shirt, Tony. The White Sox Alliance. That's good, too. That smacks of Star Trek and Star Wars right there. That's good. We'll have to put this out on Twitter. We'll pick, like, our best. How many can you do on a Twitter poll, Tony? Can you do three or four?
Four.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
All right, we'll pick our favorite four and put it on a Twitter poll.
Somebody said the Sox.
Turn your microphone off before you say something bad. Let's go out to Wilmette and talk with Rick. Hey, Rick, you're on the Score.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's on your mind?
Well, I mean, you know, Manny Machado's a great player, and while I would be a tad disappointed if he did not come to the South Side, I'm not sure that would be the worst-case scenario. I mean, for two reasons. Number one, the White Sox are not going to compete next year, even if they get him. So by spending, you know, whatever, $25, $30 million on one player, they're really spending that money for nothing for next year. And number two, the free agent class next year is phenomenal as well. So there's going to be a lot of great players out there next year. So, you know, I still think that, you know, if they don't sign him, it's not the end of the world. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
I'm not saying it's the end of the world, because I think we're all in lockstep with the idea that the rebuild is going well. It's just that once you put yourself out there, like, we're players in this game, you'd like to see some sort of result come from it. Tony, have you seen any more that you like from the text line? Ones that you can say on the air?
No, say
that. All right, I'm going to take the next one. Southside and Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the Score.
Big fan of you, Lawrence. What's going on, big dog?
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Hey, so since the Sox have gone into this rebuild, I feel like Rick Hahn has done a really good job of, you know, telling the fans of what he wants to do and what he's going to do. And for some reason, I just feel like if we do not land Machado, it just wipes out all the good graces I done built up about Rick Hahn. And I just want Machado to come, man.
I know where you're at, Chris. I truly do, and I appreciate your phone call. I think I'm almost there. I'm not totally there, because I don't think it wipes away everything. Because I'm enjoying seeing video of Eloy and Lou Bob and all the stuff that's going on. Like, I love what the White Sox are doing down in the Dominican. If you didn't know, the White Sox, like, took a group of their players down to the Dominican so that they would understand what some of the players from other countries deal with to get to the major leagues. And I think that's a really good thing. Yo, Herbie, we may have found our winner. White Sox clan. With a C.
Well, Tony said the one with the K would have been better.
No, Tony. Not anymore.
Tony loved that one.
As Chinatown marches further south, Bridgeport as a neighborhood is actually pretty diverse if you look at some of the numbers.
Canaryville?
Yep. Like I said, there are great places on 31st Street. If you haven't gone to Pancho Pistolas, which is one of my favorite restaurants in the city, and gone and had a meal there, and Franco's on 31st, I don't even like Italian food. Not like that. But it's so funny. Like, me and Panther were driving back from a White Sox game. And we were like, man, we see this place all the time. We should go there. And then like 6 months later, man, we see this place all the time. We should go there. And then we go there as like our favorite place.
Tanny told me about some, I think it's a Polish/Korean place.
Oh, I know. You know what? A bunch of guys in White Sox ops were actually telling me about that, and I forgot the name of it.
I'm sure our Texas will give us the clue of that place. But
or Chuck E. G.
Yeah, he's coming up in 5 minutes.
He's got some things to say. By the way, the bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now at NUSports.com. All right, so Herbie, I want you to go through this list. I want you to give me a list of your four favorite. Tony, I want you to give me a list of your four favorite. I'll put together a list, and then we'll put together the list for the Twitter poll. All right? We appreciate your contributions. Let's go out to Morgan Park. Aha! And Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's up?
So, when the Sox, like, when I first heard they were going after Harper and Machado, I was like, okay, you know, they should be, because every team should be. But I never thought it would actually, like, be kind of a real possibility. Even when Machado came to town, it was like, okay, well, he's also going to Philly and to see the Yankees. But as it's gotten further and further along, I'm getting more and more excited, and it just kind of feels like, you know, if they were to get him, it would almost kind of, like, validate, even though I believe in the rebuild, it would almost just kind of, like, validate everything and make it feel like, okay, this is, like, they can be for real. They can, you know, be a real player. You know, they can, you know, attract these big names. They can, you know, they can really make something out of this. And I feel like I've just gotten so excited about it that if they don't get them at this point, it's going to feel like a punch in the gut.
I think that you summed up my feelings better than I did. That's it right there. People are texting in that the name of the place is Kimski.
That's it.
Okay. We like fusion. Michigan City and Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, good to talk to you. The name I came up with if they signed Mankata would be Mankata Manchadas.
Huh?
Yeah, Mankata Manchadas.
All right, let's break this down for a second. His name is Moncada, right? So it's just, that one doesn't work, but I appreciate it. 773 text says, White Sox minority. Fair. 630, Southside Elites. 630, Southside Cooperative. Also sounds like a Hyde Park thing. All right, so we'll put together our list of four. We'll come up with a list of four. We'll throw it out on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Lawrence W. Holmes, and we'll let you vote. And that's how we'll, at least on this show, that's how we'll refer to White Sox fans at all. That's what we'll do. All right? We'll take a break. We're going to talk with Chuck Garfine about the White Sox and their pursuit of Manny Machado. We'll do that next here on The Score.
It ain't hard to tell that we are talking White Sox baseball here on The Score. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until Bulls basketball tonight at 9:15. We will have Bulls Lakers here on The Score. Chuck Garfine's one of our friends. He's part of the HF Mafia. He handles pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Chicago. He also does the White Sox Talk podcast, which, by the way, if you're not down with it, we got two words for you. But you should be checking it out. It's really good. And considering that Ryan McGuffey is in the Dominican Republic with the White Sox, I imagine the next episode is going to be fantastic. Chuck Garfine now joins me here on The Score. What's up, Chuck?
Not much. Thanks for the kind words about the podcast. I appreciate that, Lawrence.
Well, I subscribe, and I gave it 5 stars and a rating and all that good stuff.
Thanks, man. We have Daniel Palka on. We just dropped it, an interview with him. That's out right now. And, yes, Ryan McGuffey, my colleague, is in the Dominican Republic with some of the top prospects with the White Sox. as they are assimilating, you know, with that culture, with Eloy Jimenez and a lot of the Dominican White Sox players, and we will be checking in with him later in the week. So, yes, that's probably going to happen with Ryan McGuffey on the podcast. So thanks for the little plug. I appreciate that.
Well, that's it. It's quid pro quo. I'm all about helping you guys out, and I enjoy the podcast, so or else I wouldn't have you on the show. Like, that's a big deal.
We got to have you on the podcast one of these days.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Kevin Cross is going to allow for the Bears guy to be on the White Sox Talk podcast.
Might be too confusing
yes.
to the listeners.
I'd love to do it. So, yes, let's set up a time, and let's make that happen for sure.
Okay,
all right.
Okay.
I want to ask you, overall, I'll just keep it general. What do you think of the White Sox pursuit of Manny Machado?
What do I think of it? I think it has been well thought out and actually I would say well executed at this point. I don't know all the ins and outs, obviously, of what's been going on here. But as we sit here today and as we go backwards, you know, a few months or even I'm sure when the White Sox embarked on this rebuild, they were already eyeing this free agent class. Actually, I know they were. And they were looking at Manny Machado and Bryce Harper at that point. To say that here we are. Second week in January, and the White Sox have a very realistic chance of signing him. I'd say they're doing a great job. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of, if you want to call it, negotiating in the press that might be going on that's, you know, a little frustrating at times. But, I think at where we're sitting right now, you know, we are all trying to figure out what's really happening. There is perception and there is the reality. And I'm not sure where the truth lies, but it does appear like the White Sox are certainly in it. They've made an offer. The latest news is that the Phillies are, there was a thought that the Phillies might want Machado and Harper, but now the latest news is that it's going to be one or the other. And I think if the Phillies get Harper, I think the White Sox have a great chance to get Machado because it seems like I go back to this. I keep saying the same thing a lot, and it still seems to ring true. The Phillies and the White Sox need one of these two players. They need them for their teams. The other teams that seem to be involved in this, whether it's the Yankees, the Dodgers, throw any other team into it, they want them. But when you need a player like this, I think you're willing to go the extra mile to make it happen. I do believe in the end the Phillies and the White Sox will get one of these two players.
Chuck, do you mind if we go like kind of a little inside baseball when it comes to reporting?
Sure.
Because I'd love to pick your brain and let the listener know about this. When it comes to trying to figure out what's fact and what's fiction when reporting on something like this, what's your method in trying to get the most honest assessment and not necessarily running to our bosses at NBC Sports Chicago and saying, hey, I just heard this. And let's put that out there for public consumption.
I mean, are you talking about in this case or just in cases in general?
In general. I don't want you to burn any bridges. I'm just saying that in general, how do you try to be careful with what you're reporting?
Well, yeah, forget that, we do have an association with the White Sox, for instance. At the end of the day, though, these are relationships that I have. And, I wanted them to feel comfortable with me, and I want to be comfortable with them, and I want them to be comfortable with me. I'm not someone, honestly, who is digging and digging and trying to get the breaking news. I let others, for the most part, do that. There are times where I pick my spots, and I will break a story. But it's really, for me, I don't think my role is to be that guy who breaks the stories all the time. So I kind of just pick my spots, and if I have information, I use it. Sometimes I don't use it. But I can tell you right now, in terms of Machado, I mean, I don't have the information that says they're going to sign him because I don't know what that is. I don't think anyone knows that at this point. But it's a balancing act as a reporter to, to develop a trust with teams that you cover and, know what my role is. And, and I have a relationship with the players too and the coaches. And, I have opinions about, certain, plays that get made. And, if I'm in a forum where I am like on a post game show, I will give an opinion there. And, if a player or a coach doesn't like my opinion, I usually will just go in and just bring it up to them and say, hey, I said this. you want to talk about, or they probably don't even want to talk about or even care. But it's am I answering your question?
Yeah,
or do
absolutely.
You want to go a different road?
No. I just wanted to know, because when it comes to the reporting on this in particular, like I'm always skeptical. I think I'm just kind of programmed that way, and I find you to be a lot more of a nicer person than I am. But I'm always so skeptical about, well, we're hearing this, or like if you're getting information from an agent and like trying to figure out how much of that information do you put out publicly, and the balance that you have to have between, well, this person, what do they have to gain by giving me this information,
right?
And how do I balance that with what I know to be true? Like it's a weird place, because every postseason, every offseason in baseball, everyone's got a guy, and I trust the people who cover baseball overall, but when it comes to free agency, I just feel like there are lots of lapses in judgment, and we are used, whether it's by team and by agent, to kind of spread a little bit of propaganda, and I always worry about whether or not we're doing our job if we do.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think we're more aware of it right now in this moment only because this Machado-Harper thing has been prolonged and it's been going on for so long, and you're getting little droplets of information from various places. And, you know, I do think that it's very likely that Machado's camp did drop something to Jeff Passan of ESPN, saying that, you know, there's an 8-year offer on the table, and in my reporting, that's not the case. It's been less than 8 years is the offer to Machado. You know, but this is business. Sometimes business goes this way, and it is. You know, I'm surprised if it's true that Machado only has one offer right now, and it's from the White Sox. But you don't know the game that goes on behind the scenes, and you know, this stuff used to be very much behind the scenes. There was no social media, and there was, you know, a newspaper that came out once a day, and you'd read about some stuff in the morning, and news didn't travel as quick as it does right now. Now news travels instantaneously, and I think we are more aware of some of the gamesmanship that goes on behind the scenes as, you know, teams are trying to lock players up. And so I think we're just in a different world right now, and it's more, I don't want to say front and center because we don't know exactly what's going on, but I think certain reporters are used as platforms for whatever message a team, a player, or an agent is trying to get out.
Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago joining me here. You can follow him on Twitter very simply at Chuck Garfine. What's the most important non-Machado story for the White Sox?
Are you saying for the season or right now?
Whatever way you want to take it.
Non-Machado story. I mean, I would say Eloy Jimenez. I mean, he is going to be, from all accounts and from everything that I've seen and heard and talked to people, he's going to be a star, potentially a superstar. He wants to be a superstar. And he's a guy your jaw just drops when you watch him play. And a lot of, I mean, unless you saw some spring training games or you were able to see him on TV or go to some of the, you know, the Charlotte games or Birmingham games, you haven't really seen him play. And he's going to be a big story this spring, you know, at spring training. And then in 2019, he's going to make his debut with the White Sox. And, you know, I know it would be great to have a Manny Machado or Bryce Harper on this team, but, you know, he might end up being like the guy in the end, Eloy Jimenez. He's that magnetic of a player and it's a personality, and I just cannot wait to see him play for the White Sox.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I'm excited about Lou Bob. Well, what are you hearing on Kopech? What's the latest on his recovery?
He's going to need a year. And, you know, I think if there's anybody who I know who can deal with a Tommy John surgery and come back and be the same, it's him, just because he's such a workout freak, and you need to have that drive and that motivation and that work ethic to get it done. And in the rehab, and he's going to have to do all that. He will be at Sox Fest, so we'll get an update on him then. But you know, I think for him, it's going to be a mental challenge for him, not even physical, as much as a mental challenge, because you know he's going to have to go a whole season without baseball, and that's really difficult, especially when he got a taste of it. But I did have a conversation with him the day after he got the news that he needed Tommy John, and he said that just the fact that he got to play in the majors for even a little bit is going to go a long way for him, because if he hadn't gotten the taste of the majors and he had Tommy John surgery, he would have that in the back of his mind that he still didn't know what the majors was like and whether he really had enough to actually excel there. And by just those three starts, I think it was three starts, he knows that when he comes back here, he can excel because he showed what he could do. So I think that's going to help him, but just the mental part of not, and he's actually gone through a whole year without baseball in the past. And he had surgery, and he also had a suspension. So he's been through that before, but you know, I just can't wait till 2020. It's still, it almost hasn't set in yet that Kopech's going to be out for a year, but that's the case.
The funny part is that I feel like you might have to tackle him to get him, you know what I mean? Like, because he'll be like, oh, I can go, I can push. Like, I want to say he put out on Instagram, like, I feel like throwing. No, you don't feel like throwing. Yeah. Don't throw anything. And you just be cool and let everything heal up, because we're going to need you to throw 107 mile per hour fastballs in a couple of years. All right, so Chuck, I got one more thing for you before we let you go. Yeah. We came up with four different names for what we want to call what ordinarily would be like White Sox Nation, but I don't think that really fits. So we came up with four between me, Herbie, and Tony. Want to get your thoughts on this, okay? Here are the four choices. White Sox Armada, White Sox Faction, White Sox Rebellion, White Sox Clan.
Now, are you saying this is for just like the future or for the now? Like, this is what we're going to call
on
team.
On our show, when we talk about the fan base, we're going to use one of these four choices. It's either going to be White Sox Armada, White Sox Faction, White Sox Rebellion, or White Sox Clan.
I think I like Armada.
Okay. All right. So we got Chuck down for White Sox Armada. All right. I'm going to throw this out on Twitter and see which one of them works. Chuck, as always, I appreciate your time. We'll have to do this again in studio soon.
Okay, sure. That sounds good to me. Thanks for having me on, Lawrence.
All the time, Chuck. I appreciate you. That is Chuck Garfine of NBC Sports Chicago. So while I was talking with Chuck, I went through the four choices that each of us made, and I got these four. I'm going to throw it out on Twitter, and we're going to let you vote. All right? We come back. I want to talk a little bit about the Bears and the way that they kind of wrapped up the season, including the Bears' thoughts on Cody Parkey. And you'll hear what Dave Wannstedt had to say about Chuck Pagano. That's coming up next here on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.